We're continuing chapter 5 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of... Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And at this point, they're all about to tell Harry and the others what was happening in the world. "Okay, Harry, what do you want to know?" Sirius said. Harry took a deep breath and asked the question that had been obsessing him for a month. "Where's Voldemort? What's he doing? I've been trying to watch the Muggle news," he said, ignoring the renewed shudders and winces at the name. "And there hasn't been anything that looks like him yet. No funny deaths or anything." "That's because there haven't been any suspicious deaths yet," said Sirius. "Not as far as we know, anyway, and we know quite a lot." "More than he thinks we do, anyway," said Lupin. "How come he stopped killing people?" Harry asked. He knew that Voldemort had murdered more than once in the last year alone. "Because he doesn't want to draw attention to himself at the moment," said Sirius. "It would be dangerous for him. His comeback didn't come off quite the way he wanted to, you see. He messed it up." "Or rather, you messed it up for him," said Lupin, with a satisfied smile. "How?" asked Harry perplexedly. "You weren't supposed to survive," said Sirius. "Nobody apart from his Death Eaters were supposed to know that he'd come back. But you survived to bear witness. And the very last person he wanted to alerted to his return the moment he got back was Dumbledore," said Lupin. "And you made sure Dumbledore knew at once." "How has that helped?" Harry asked. "Are you kidding?" said Bill incredulously. "Dumbledore was the only one you know who was ever scared of. Thanks to you, Dumbledore was able to recall the Order of the Phoenix about an hour after Voldemort returned," said Sirius. "So what's the Order been doing?" said Harry, looking around at all of them. "Working as hard as we can to make sure Voldemort can't carry out his plan," said Sirius. "How do you know what his plans are?" Harry asked quickly. "Dumbledore's got a shrewd idea," said Lupin, "and Dumbledore's shrewd ideas normally turn out to be accurate." "So what does Dumbledore reckon he's planning?" "Well, firstly, he wants to build up an army again," said Sirius. "In the old days, he had huge numbers at his command, witches and wizards he'd bullied or bewitched into following him, his faithful Death Eaters, a great variety of dark creatures. You heard him planning to recruit the giants. Well, they'll just be one group he's after. He's certainly not going to try to take on the Ministry of Magic with only a dozen Death Eaters." "So you're trying to stop him from getting followers?" "We're doing our best," said Lupin.
"How?"
"Well, the main thing is to try to convince as many people as possible that you know who has really returned, to put them on guard," said Bill. "It's proving tricky, though."
"Why?"
"Because of the Ministry's attitude," said Tonks. "You saw Cornelius Fudge after you know who came back, Harry. Well, he hasn't shifted his position at all. He's absolutely refusing to believe it's happened."
"But why?" said Harry desperately. "Why is he being so stupid if Dumbledore..."
"Oh, well, you've put your finger on the problem," said Mr. Weasley with a wry smile. "Dumbledore."
"Fudge is frightened of him, you see," said Tonks sadly.
"Frightened of Dumbledore?" Harry asked incredulously.
"Frightened of what he's up to," said Mr. Weasley.
"You see, Fudge thinks Dumbledore is plotting to overthrow him. He thinks Dumbledore wants to be Minister of Magic."
"But Dumbledore doesn't want..."
"Of course he doesn't," said Mr. Weasley. "He's never wanted the Minister's job, even though a lot of people wanted him to take it when Millicent Bagnold retired. Fudge came to power instead, and he's never quite forgotten how much popular support Dumbledore had, even though Dumbledore never applied for the job.
Deep down, Fudge knows Dumbledore is much cleverer than he is, a much more powerful wizard, and in the early days of the Ministry, he was forever asking Dumbledore for help and advice," said Lupin. "But it seems he's become fond of power now, and much more confident. He loves being the Minister of Magic, and he's managed to convince himself that he's the clever one, and Dumbledore is simply stirring up trouble for the sake of it."
"How can he think that?" said Harry angrily. "How can he think Dumbledore would just make it all up, that I'd make it all up?"
"Because accepting that Voldemort's back would mean trouble like the Ministry hasn't had to cope with for nearly 14 years," said Sirius bitterly.
"What's that?" "Okay," said Sirius bitterly.
Fudge just can't bring himself to face it. It's so much more comfortable to convince himself Dumbledore's lying to destabilize him. You see the problem, said Lupin. While the Ministry insists there's nothing to fear from Voldemort, it's hard to convince people he's back. Especially as they don't really want to believe it in the first place. What's more, the Ministry is leaning heavily on the Daily Prophet not to report any of what they're calling Dumbledore's rumor-mongering, so most of the wizarding community are completely unaware anything's happened, and that makes them easy targets for the Death Eaters if they're using the Imperius Curse. But you're telling people, aren't you? Said Harry, looking around at Mr. Weasley, Sirius, Bill, Mundungus, Lupin, and Tonks. You're letting people know he's back. They all smiled humorlessly. Well, as everyone thinks I'm a mass murderer, and the Ministry's put a 10,000 galleon price on my head, I can hardly stroll up and down the street and handing out leaflets, can I? Said Sirius, restlessly. And I'm not a very popular dinner guest with most of the community, said Lupin. It's an occupational hazard of being a werewolf. Tonks and Arthur would lose their jobs at the Ministry if they started shooting their mouths off, said Sirius. And it's very important for us to have spies inside the Ministry because you can bet Voldemort will have them. We've managed to convince a couple of people, though, said Mr. Weasley. Tonks here, for one. She's too young to have been in the Order of the Phoenix last time, and having Aurors on our side is a huge advantage. Kingsley Shacklebolt's a real asset, too. He's in charge of the hunt for Sirius, so he's been feeding the Ministry information that Sirius is in Tibet. But if none of you is putting the news out that Voldemort's back, Harry began. Who said none of us is putting the news out, said Sirius. Why do you think Dumbledore's in such trouble? What do you mean? Harry asked. They're trying to discredit him, said Lupin. Didn't you see the Daily Prophet last week? They reported that he'd been voted out of the chairmanship for the International Confederation of Wizards because he's getting too old and losing his grip. But it's not true. He was voted out by Ministry Wizards after he made a speech announcing Voldemort's return. They've demoted him from Chief Warlock on the Wizengat. That's the Wizard High Court. And they're talking about taking away his Order of Merlin First Class. But Dumbledore doesn't care what they do as long as they don't take him off the Chocolate Frogs, said Bill, grinning. It's no laughing matter, said Mr. Weasley shortly. If he carries on defying the Ministry like this, he could end up in Azkaban, and the last thing we want is Dumbledore locked up. Well, you know who knows Dumbledore's out there, and wise to what he's up to, he's going to go cautiously for a while. If Dumbledore's out of the way, well, you know who will have a clear field. But if Voldemort's trying to recruit more Death Eaters, it's bound to get out that he's come back, isn't it? Asked Harry desperately. Voldemort doesn't march up to people's houses and bang on the front doors, Harry, said Sirius. He tricks, jinxes, and blackmails them. He's well-practiced at operating in secrecy. In any case, gathering followers is only one thing he's interested in. He's got other plans, too, plans he can put into operation very quietly indeed. And he's concentrating on them at the moment. What's he after, apart from followers? Harry asked swiftly. He thought he saw Sirius and Lupin exchange the most fleeting looks before Sirius said, "Stuff he can only get by stealth." When Harry continued to look puzzled, Sirius said, "Like a weapon, something he didn't have before last time." When he was powerful before? Yes. Like what kind of weapon, said Harry? Something worse off than Avada Kedavra? That's enough! Mrs. Weasley spoke from the shadows beside the door. Harry had not noticed her return from taking Ginny upstairs. Her arms were crossed and she looked furious. I want you in bed, all of you, she added, looking around at Fred, George, Ron, and Hermione. You can't boss us, Fred began. Watch me, said Mrs. Weasley. She was trembling slightly as she looked at Sirius. You've given Harry plenty of information. Any more, you just might as well induct him into the Order straight away. Why not, said Harry quickly. I'll join. I want to join. I want to fight. No, it was not Mrs. Weasley who spoke this time, but Lupin. The Order is comprised only of overage wizards, he said, wizards who have left school. He added, as Fred and George opened their mouths. There are dangers involved, of which you can have no idea, any of you. I think Molly's right, Sirius. We've said enough. Sirius half shrugged, but did not argue. Mrs. Weasley beckoned imperiously to her sons and Hermione. One by one, they stood up, and Harry, recognizing defeat, followed suit. And that's the end of Chapter 5. Next, we'll read Chapter 6, called The Noble and Most Ancient House of Black.
I hope you like that kitty.
I love you so much.
Simple. Good night.